Praise God. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. We could just all stand for just... It's so great to have Brother Nathan Thompson. His father was here last week and spoke to us last Sunday evening. Of course, they were here too, but it was his father that spoke last weekend and did a superb job. And Brother Nathan, got to know him. Of course, he came here, married Skasha Leonardson, so they're not any strangers here by any means, but it's great to have them here all the way from Montana. And Brother Nathan, we love you, appreciate you, your family. God bless you.
I wonder if we can just give that to Jesus this morning. Come on, you made it to church on a snowy Sunday morning. Why don't we worship Him like it took us a little bit of effort to get here this morning? Oh, we worship You, Jesus. Oh, we're thankful, God. We don't just give You hand praise and lip praise today, but we give You heart praise right now. From the depths of who we are, we worship You and we thank You, Jesus, for there is no one like You. There is no one like You, Jesus. We praise You. We exalt You. Presence of the Lord that's here. Maybe we just need to brush some snow off of us a little bit so that we can feel that warmth just pierce the depths of who we are. Come on, let's just worship Him for another minute this morning. He's asking to be worshiped right now. Oh, Jesus, we need You. We worship You. We praise You. We exalt You today. You are the great I am. You are the I am fill in the blank. Whatever You need me to be is what You said You would be, oh God. Whatever we need You to do in our lives, You're here to do that this morning. You're here and anything that You can do is here this morning. And we worship You today and we praise You. We exalt You today. We magnify You, Jesus. Come on, if you believe that this morning, I want you just to, if you haven't done it yet today, just lift both of your hands and surrender to Jesus, and let's just have another moment of worship. Let's just receive what we've heard this morning. I believe that's a word from God to more than just one person here this morning. In the name of Jesus, we submit ourselves to You, knowing that, God, You will see us through whatever it is we are in the middle of. We submit ourselves to You and surrender ourselves to You this morning, knowing that You are in control and without You we can do nothing. God, we surrender to You and we worship You. God, ready our hearts to hear Your word this morning. Ready our spirits to respond, O God. Ready our feet to be moved by You. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have a Bible, please stand for the reading of the Word. Turn with me to Genesis, the first chapter. It is such a great honor to be in Calvary Gospel Church with you this morning. And I want to give honor to your great pastor, Pastor Roy Grant. And I love him dearly. He's not only an influence in my life, but I count him as a friend as well. And I do want to give honor to Bishop, who's not here today. And it's the first time I think I can say this behind the pulpit. Well, maybe the second time, but you weren't here. You were on your honeymoon. But it's an honor to have my sister here with me this morning. To see her here at such a great church. And, of course, it's an honor to have my wife, Skasha, and my daughter, Eowyn, here this morning. Let's not forget that Jesus is here. Amen. Genesis, the first chapter, the second verse says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit," everyone say the Spirit of God moved. Say moved. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. For the next few minutes this morning, I want to preach to you on this title, "Put Up Your Sail, the Wind is Blowing." Let's just close our Bibles, and one more time, let's just ask God to have His way here this morning. Jesus, in Your name, I pray right now that the power of the Holy Ghost would begin to move in this place right now, that You'd begin to pull away from us, oh God, the things that, Lord, hold us back from being propelled by Your Spirit, that there would be an anointing here that would break the yoke, that, God, Your Spirit would move uninhibited today. Right now, we bind everything in the spirit realm that would come against what You want to accomplish today by the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. We release the supernatural to move here today in this place. And, God, we are inviting You into our inner space, God. We are inviting You today beyond and in beyond the boundaries of what we're comfortable with. We are asking You to do what only You can do in our lives today, and we are hungry for You today. We ask for You to move, and we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Let's clap our hands to Jesus in a loud ovation this morning, and let's give Him praise. We worship You, Jesus. We praise You today. We love You, Lord. We love You, Lord. You can be seated. I remember attempting my first multi-day summit of a mountain. I remember spending hours prepping my gear, scouring the internet to try to figure out how I could shave ounces and fit everything inside of my backpack at the same time. Just doing all kinds of research and researching out the exact route that I was going to take and where I was going to make base camp and all of that kind of stuff. And I remember setting out that morning thinking I was prepared. As I began to climb, things were going well until early the second morning. I climbed past the last of the tree line and I was blasted with an unrelenting wind, with nowhere to hide and no way to control it. It just blew and blew and blew and blew. And it was a demonstration of power. I don't know if you've ever been anywhere, and around here we have those windstorms and those tornadic windstorms that come through. And there's nothing like being in the middle of a situation and feeling helpless with that wind blowing. I remember two summers ago climbing Cloud Peak. It's the highest peak in the Bighorn Mountains at 13,167 feet high. And when you read the climbing guides, it suggests it climbs like a difficult 14er. And so again, I'm getting prepared for this climb. And I have a buddy with, and we begin to climb, and we begin to set out, and we set up base camp, and Pastor Roy, we leave at 5 in the morning so that we can summit the mountain and get back down before the weather rolls in. And so it's dark out and we have our headlamps on and we have a 5-mile trek up about 3,000 feet. And the last 3 miles of that is nothing but boulders. There's no established trail to the top. And I remember that morning as we left our tents, which were right at tree line, we get up over the last of the trees. And again, there is that relentless wind that is blowing. And there's a picture that we can put up of me at the top. We summited at about 9:30 that morning. And as we kept going up, we had to put on more and more clothes because the wind just kept pounding us. It never seemed to give up. There was nothing to stop it, and so it just blew and blew and blew and blew. And here I am about 30 feet on the other side of the highest point of the mountain. And that first green lake right there is 1,200 feet below where I'm sitting. And if you'll notice this cliff off on the right-hand side, right above my head, we had been up there about 5 minutes, and we had just started to catch our breath, and the wind picked up in a way that kind of made you want to crouch down and hold on to the rocks, and it blew past us. And about 20 seconds later, we heard this enormous crashing from the other side of the valley, and off of the face of that cliff, the wind had dislodged a large boulder that literally just started crashing down all 1,200 feet down into that glaciated lake. I was again reminded the sheer power of the wind. The Bible begins by saying the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. I'm here this morning to encourage someone and simply say that the wind of God started blowing over this world back at the beginning. It's been blowing over your life since you took your first breath, and it's blowing over you right now. There is nothing that can contend with it. There is nothing that can stop it. In and through trips like the one I described, I've come to realize that when I get above that tree line, the wind never stops blowing. It never stops moving. It's always active because there's nothing that can contend with it, nothing that can stop it. Whether it's just a little breeze or a gale force wind, the air is always active. It's charged, it's moving, and it's alive. And I've come to have a brand new respect for the wind, because I've come to realize how something that I can't see can have such a powerful effect on me as a human being. Solomon echoes what nature teaches us in Ecclesiastes 1 and 6 when it says, blowing toward the south, then turning toward the north, the wind continues swirling along, and on its circular courses, the wind returns. Genesis chapter 1 records the beginning of this wonderful and beautiful landscape that we live in. And we read it earlier. It says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. As I already said, there at the epicenter of the world, at the beginning of all things, the Spirit of God was moving. And I want to remind you again and again this morning that it has not stopped moving yet, not in any of our lives. There is a God who is breathing upon each one of us today, but it is up to us to recognize whether we want to acknowledge that breath or not. Like silence. Because it makes people uncomfortable. I have a problem with people, not you, of course, because you just literally slogged it out through a snowstorm to get here this morning. But I have a problem with Christians. Jesus, help me to say this nicely. The problem with Christians who come and they sit in church and they hear the same things preached that everybody else hears. They sing the same songs that everybody else sings, and they leave the same way they came every week. There is an enormous difference between sitting in the presence of God and feeling the presence of God and experiencing the presence of God. There has to come a point in time in our lives when we recognize that church is got to be more than just entertain me on a Sunday morning. I haven't come to preach a cute sermon. I can throw awesome hiking videos and I can tell stories all day and you'd leave here really entertained and no one would leave changed. I've come here to challenge someone this morning that maybe church has to be a little bit more about experiencing than just feeling. That we have to acknowledge the fact that if the wind is indeed blowing, why maybe can't I feel it this morning? And why maybe will I leave the same way that I walked in here? Why might I not get what I needed last Wednesday night and last Sunday morning and last Sunday night and last week and last month? Why am I not receiving the benefits of the life-giving Spirit that Jesus has died and bled to bring to this earth? The wind's blowing. It's blowing. Let's go to the New Testament. John 3 records Jesus speaking with a man who was a well-known religious leader in his day. In his conversation with the man Nicodemus, in that conversation, Jesus shares some valuable insight about the Spirit of God in John chapter 3 and verse 8. He says, "The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going. Like the unceasing prevailing winds on Cloud Peak, or the breath of the words of God breathing creation into existence." What Jesus is telling Nicodemus is that the wind of his Spirit is not subject to the voice of any earthly power. It is beyond the control of any human being. Any circumstance in your life or any attempt of the enemy of your soul to block it. Hear me this morning. What I believe that Satan wants to do is to convince some of us that he can stop the blowing of the wind of God in our lives. But I'm here to tell you that what God started doing at the beginning is still happening today. I believe that the latter will be greater than the former. I believe that he's breathing today and that no devil in hell can stop that wind from blowing over your life. No situation in your life, no person, no circumstance, no sickness, no evil report. The wind has been blowing and it's gonna keep blowing. I was praying this morning and something just hit me. And it took me a few minutes to try to dissect what it was that I was feeling. Am I the only one that Satan tries to come against to try to make me feel like I'm all alone in this journey I'm on, in this life that I'm living? I'm praying this morning and I'm just hit with this feeling in the gut. Like it's just me and me against everything, right? I think Satan wants to try to convince us this morning that he can somehow throw up a wind block in our lives. That he can somehow just stifle the breeze of the presence of God or cut us off from that life-giving flow. But my Bible tells me in Isaiah 54 that no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. What that means today is that Satan cannot inhibit the Spirit of God from flowing over your life. It's flowing over you right now, even after what happened last night. It's flowing over you right now, even with the regrets of the past or the hurt or the pain. It's flowing and it's blowing, and Satan cannot stop that. Paul writes in the book of Romans chapter 8 that if God be for us, say it with me,
who can be against us? He writes later that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so when Satan comes against us and he tries to convince us that he can somehow cut off that flow, I don't know about you, but sometimes I just have to pick myself up and encourage myself in the Lord. I found myself this morning just starting to sing, I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. I want to remind someone this morning what Paul continued to write in Romans 8, verses 38 through 39. He said, for I am persuaded. Sometimes we just have to get persuaded. We just have to know that we know that we know that we know. We have to know what this says and we have to apply it to our hearts. We have to understand that when the world screams, this is irrelevant, our heart screams back, this is truth. When the world says that this is outdated, we have to scream back in our spirit that this is the rock on which we stand, that nothing indeed can come against us. If this is what it says in here, that this is what's going to happen. Paul writes and said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor anything present or things to come nor height nor depth nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's blowing over you right now. Whether you know it or not, whether you feel good or not, it's blowing over you right now. Follow me on a little side journey for a second. Everybody okay this morning? All right, good. There was a little scripture in 2 Peter that caught my attention recently. It's 2 Peter 1 and 21. And at surface value, it might not seem like it has much to do with what I'm talking about this morning. But I believe it holds a key within it that'll help us really understand how God moves in and around our lives. It says this, for the prophecy came not in old. The prophecy, this right here. It's a scripture that documents the writing of the Holy Word. Peter says, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This verse in 2 Peter gives us the recipe for how the Holy Scriptures came to be. How the supernatural came down and was born in the natural where we live here. And it's intriguing to me because of the list of ingredients. How many cooks or bakers do we have in here? I don't even know if I'm using the right terminology, right? Okay. If you've ever made anything worth eating, I don't know if I have, that's why I phrase it that way. You understand that the ingredients in the recipe are very important. But you also understand that the process that's applied to those ingredients is just as important. For instance, if Matt was going to bake a cake, and he just took the ingredient list and threw it in a pan and brought it to the church potluck, that would be a disgusting cake. Because there's a process that has to be applied to the list of ingredients in order for the desired result. You with me so far? So, there's a list of ingredients in this scripture. Mankind is the first ingredient, as in humanity. And I know that it says holy men of God, and instantly all of us are like, whoa, that's not me, right? Like, we exclude ourselves from that because we pedestalize everybody in the scripture, even though they're people just like us, that God got a hold of their lives and maybe they separated themselves a little bit. This is humankind that God is talking about. Mankind that has made some decisions to separate themselves, and so they are holy men of God. But they began people just like you and I. Ingredient number one. Ingredient number two is the blowing wind of the Holy Ghost, the very spirit and essence of God. Now, as I stated, we don't just take all the ingredients and just throw them into a bowl and have a finished product. There's a process that has to be applied. And so the process that is being applied here has everything to do with the word moved. You can throw my second slide up for me. The English word moved in 2 Peter 1:21 translated, or not translated, but in its origins in the Greek language in which the New Testament was written, is the word pharaoh. And pharaoh means to carry or to move by bearing. Like this, bearing, to be conveyed or borne, B-O-R-N-E, with the suggestion of force and speed, as in persons borne in a ship or carried in a ship over the sea, or borne or carried by a gust of wind. There is something exhilarating about being picked up by the wind and carried. I was a youth pastor once. And about a month before I wasn't a youth pastor anymore, we took a whole bunch of kids camping up north in northern Minnesota. And we got in there, Roslyn, we got in there on a Friday night, and we had our devotions, and we woke up Saturday morning, and we peeked out of our tents, and there was just this howling wind that had happened in the middle of the night. And so here we are. We have like 30 or 40 kids. There's like me and this other youth pastor. And like it was basically looking, Pastor, like all of the things we had planned that day were about ready to go up in smoke. Like the weather was rolling in. This wind was blowing. It was crazy. My sister was there. She probably knows where I'm going with this. So I get this harebrained idea in my head to get all the kids out in this open field. Now, this other youth pastor, Tim, he was a contractor, which automatically means you have four or five enormous tarps in the back of your truck. Can I get an amen? So I said, let's get that 40 by like 20 tarp. Let's smuggle it out into the middle of the field when the wind isn't blowing hard. And let's line all these kids up. And let's stretch it out tight and see what happens when the wind blows. Because that sounded like a good idea to me. Am I telling it right so far? Okay. And so here we go. We have like 30 of us out there. And we get out there and we get it all unrolled and we get it all stretched out. And I'm on like one corner of it. And all of a sudden, you know, like when you're up north in the pines and the wind blows, you can just hear it coming at you like the ocean. So we hear it coming in and everyone's just holding on tight. And this like 40 mile an hour gust of wind hits this tarp, Pastor Roy. And the next thing I know, I'm not making this up, I am like 10 feet off the ground. Oh, like this. And we are all literally being carried across this field in the air. Because there's something powerful when we figure out a way to throw up a sail and catch the wind when it's blowing over us. Something powerful happens, and it picks us up from where we're at right now, and it takes us to a place that we weren't going to get on our own, and it does it in a way that's unexplainable. Holy men of God were moved moved from who they used to be, moved from all the things that happened in my life and your life that we don't want anyone to know about, all the garbage, all the lies of the enemy, all the sin. Holy men of God were lifted up and moved into a place where God could speak through them to write God's words that have literally impacted and changed our lives. Don't sell yourself short here this morning. The wind of God is blowing over you right now, and all you need to do is just put up a sail. Figure out a way to harness the wind to take you from where you're at right now to where God is calling you to go. Super easy for us to dismiss that scripture with the simple notion, as I said once already, that those were holy men. And we say that that's why God was able to do with them what he did with them. I'm nobody special. But when I was 27, I laid hands on a man who had just gotten shot over the left eye and was dying. I knelt down in his blood and I prayed for him. And he lived. Not because of me, but because sometimes we just have to put up a sail and we have to have a little faith in our life that God can just break us out of our little ordinary situation and that he can use just little old me to do big things, because that's how God gets things done on this earth. His spirit is constantly blowing, and so it doesn't matter who you are or where you've been or what's happened. All he's saying this morning is throw up a sail, because I'm blowing over you. I'm blowing over your situation, and I'm ready to make things happen in your life, but it's all based on how you respond this morning. So how can people hear the same sermons, sing the same songs? And yet have completely different experiences than the person sitting next to them? How can some people come to the altar week after week and some people walk out early because there's other things that are more important? I'll tell you how. It has everything to do with your ability to put up a sail. Or maybe I should rephrase it, your want to. I don't know, I've been here for about 3 weeks, and I seem to feel the Holy Ghost saying through your pastor that there are big things on the horizon. But God can't get big things done in our lives if there aren't humanity that are willing to surrender to him and put up two hands, put up a sail, and say, it's not about my little plans, but it's about your bigger plan. And if you've got to move me from where I'm at right now into a different place, God, then by all means, I avail myself to you. Move me out of my comfort. Move me out of where I've been complacent. Move me into a miracle, God. I'm going to put up a sail to catch that wind that's been blowing and blowing and blowing. There are big things that are on the verge for Calvary Tabernacle. I'm saying that in the Holy Ghost this morning. And God is looking for someone who's willing to step up to the plate and to take the challenge and say, it's not enough for me to be where I've always been, but I am willing, God, to let you take control, to allow you to propel me supernaturally into what you have for me, to where you have me to go, and what you have me to do. You believe that this morning? Clap your hands to Jesus. Bible tells us in Romans 12 that each of us has been given a measure of faith. We all have a measure. I don't know how much a measure is. I don't know if you have been given a greater measure than I have, an equal measure or a lesser measure. But frankly, it doesn't matter. Because what God gave us is enough for our situation. Last I checked, Jesus said, all we need is faith like the grain of a mustard seed. All we need to do is just have a little bit of faith. which means we stop trying to figure out how we're going to get ourselves out of where we got ourselves into. And we get on our knees and we start casting our cares on Him. We start asking for Him to begin to blow on us as He always has been. But we do it in a way that puts a sail up. We do it with faith in our hearts and in our spirit. We do it in a way that will allow God to take us from where we've been to where He wants us to be. So what does putting a sail up in faith look like? I had you all do it already once. I've said it here before. I just want to remind you, this isn't some Christian or charismatic thing. This is the international sign of surrender, and there is something wrong if we can't. In the presence of God, I'm not bullying you into doing anything this morning, because you just lifting your hands right now while I'm talking isn't the same as you putting up a sail in your heart. Your faith has to engage your arms, but putting up a sail looks a lot like surrendering to God and just saying, I'm taking my hands off of it, God, and I'm going to trust that You do have my best in mind, that You do know that You have plans for me, that You do see where I'm at, that You haven't forgotten me, that You have forgiven me, that You do have a plan for me. It looks a lot like just closing your eyes sometimes and just saying, I can't do this on my own. It looks like sometimes having God interrupt your day with a prompting and you returning that prompting by praying like God is able. Putting up a sail looks a lot like trusting the processes that are laid out in the Word of God. Because it's our faith. It's our faith that catches the wind of God that's blowing over you right now. It's our faith that catches that wind and motivates God to move on our behalf. It's our faith that's our sail that catches that wind and propels us beyond the situations and the circumstances of our past and our present into the future that God has for us. Let's stand this morning. There's another place in the Bible that illustrates this principle of catching God's holy wind in our sails in a greater way than probably anywhere else in Scripture. Acts chapter 1 tells us of the disciples of Jesus, and they're standing in the middle of the road and they're looking up to heaven. And after everything that's happened, you probably, if you're looking at it through their eyes, you have to understand that even though Jesus has said some things, there's probably a little bit of desperation there. Like, we gave everything up, we followed Him. He died and it was heartbreaking. He came back and He's been with us for 40 days, but now He's gone for good? Jesus had promised them that He would send a comforter. But when you're between the promise and the actuality of the promise, come on, you've been there. When you're between the promise and the promise happening, sometimes we begin to doubt and we begin to have fear and we begin to wonder if we heard it right or if He said it right or if we received it right or if He is able to do everything that He said He's able to do. And so they're standing in the road and they're wondering what happened, and an angel appears and he says, you men of Galilee, Why are you standing in the middle of the road? Same Jesus that you're looking for. And I'm paraphrasing right here. He's going to manifest himself to you in a whole new way to you that's going to fill that very void that you have in your life. And so Jesus' final words are echoing in their souls, and he's told them that he was going to send the supernatural down into the natural, and that the Holy Ghost was going to come and move upon them in a way that would leave them changed and different and powerful. Jesus had instructed them to wait with hearts of anticipation and faith for his promise to be fulfilled. I'm going somewhere with this, but I felt the Holy Ghost just prompt me. Some of you are waiting on God right now. And in the course of the waiting, your faith has waned and it slipped out the back door. And when that happens in our waiting season, we feel like we're waiting for God, but actually he's waiting for us. He's waiting for us. He's waiting for us to put up a sail. He's waiting for us to engage his promise with the faith he's given us, the measure of faith he's given us. And he's waiting for us to go all in on that promise. Listen, God has spoken to some of you and you're waiting right now. And I just want to speak a word of faith in your situation right now. Begin to engage God with all the faith you can muster. Begin to put up a sail when his presence moves, because he's getting ready to do a work in your life. And so the disciples are waiting in an upper room. And the Bible says that they are in prayer and supplication, which means they're not waiting on Facebook. They're not waiting at Buffalo Wild Wings. They're waiting on their knees, and they've thrown up a sail. And the Bible says in Acts 2 that shortly thereafter, when the day of Pentecost was fully come and they were all in one accord in one place, that suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. That word rushing is the same word we read in 2 Peter 1 and 21. That was translated moved. That word rushing in Greek is the word phero. And what that means is that these men and women, the 120, were filled with the Holy Ghost, not just because they were in the upper room, but the Holy Ghost moved on them. And what it's insinuating is that they were filled because they had lifted up a sail and they were able to catch the wind. Listen, I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad you fought icy roads to be here. But unless we put a sail up, we're just coming to church on a Sunday morning. God is breathing and he's blowing and he's moving all around us today. And he's saying, I want to do it in your life, but you got to put up a sail. I want to move you from one place to another place. And so if God is touching your heart this morning, if he's speaking to you, if you feel like there's something more out there for you, I want to invite you to come to the front and just put a sail up this morning. There's something that happens when we take steps of faith down to an altar in surrender and we lift our hands up. The Holy Ghost is moving. God is breathing all around us right now. And whether we feel it or not, he's ready to do what he's promised to do this morning. So I don't know what's happening in your life right now. I don't know what God's been talking to you about, but I know he's blowing here today. His presence is here. He's calling you up. He's calling you higher. So just put up a sail today, because the wind is blowing. Put up a sail today. Lift your hands and your hearts and your faith up to a God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Let him begin to work in your life right now. He wants to take you from where you're at to where He has for you to go. He has a plan and a purpose. He has a power that He wants to unleash in your life. He wants to reveal your purpose to you. He wants to release the Holy Ghost to flow in your life right now. So put up a sail because the wind is blowing. Oh, we need you, God. Oh, we need you, Jesus.
And we are responding.
Oh, take me from where I'm at right now to where you want me to be.
The oceans are rising.
Take me from regret into forgiveness.
And falling,
take me from hurt and wounded to heal, God. Put your spirit inside of me. I want you to move me from where I'm at right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, receive it this morning. Put up that sail and receive it this morning.
My God, how great you are.
How great you are. Reach for it this morning. Don't stop short. The wind is blowing. Just put that sail up.